check 1, 2. Hi, everybody. I'm Joey McIntyre, and this is The Move. And this is The Move. Hi, I'm Joey McIntyre, and this is The Move. The Move. Hi, I'm Joey McIntyre, and this is The Move. Hi, I'm Joey McIntyre, and this is The Move. It's my theme song I'm working on. That is a moped in the background, ladies and gentlemen. You know, welcome to my first podcast. Good thing I don't have to do this perfectly. I was at my kitchen table ready to record my first podcast, and I opened up this Zoom H5 handy recorder that my friend Adam Ray insisted I get, and pressed the record button, and it said the SD card was, let's just say it wasn't cooperating. But then I called my new friend Eric, who is good friends with Adam, and he worked it all out with me. He figured it out. It's all good, ladies and gentlemen. Long story short is now I'm in my car. I'm in my car, which is fitting. Which is fitting because I spent a lot of time in my car. If you live in LA, you spend a lot of time in your car. And I am up on the top of Franklin Avenue. A little piece of Franklin Avenue, actually. This is Franklin Ave, but it's not like the thoroughfare Franklin Ave, but it's very close to it. I'll have to inspect that and investigate. But there's this big, what do they call them? It's a flower, bougainvillea. It's an indigenous. That's as big a word as you're going to get from me, ladies and gentlemen. It's an indigenous flower, kind of a vine flower bush you'll see in California. And there's one huge bush in the shape of a heart hanging over the 101 freeway in California, right at the top of Vine. If you went all the way up the top of Vine and Capitol Records, that famous cylindrical, here's another $5 word for you, cylindrical building is on your right. You get up there and you'll see the big bougainvillea heart, and it's beautiful. And there's many things like that in LA. And then I look to my left here. Again, I'm sitting in my car and I can see most of the Hollywood sign. And I look around, and I am reminded of how lucky I've been in this town, the City of Angels. And the impetus for Jesus, I'm whacking out these big words for you guys. I don't know. Maybe I just needed a microphone and some peace. And no. That's the extent of my vocabulary. But the impetus of this, or the drive, or sort of the spark for this podcast is, and why it's called The Move, is because I am moving. I am leaving the City of Angels, and I'm going back to the Big Apple. And brings up a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, and people say, why? Why? They say, why are you moving to New York? And I say, because I can. It's the greatest city in the world. And I thought that long before Lin-Manuel wrote that song. But it is the greatest city in the world. But I've loved L.A., And but it's been bubbling under, bubbling and finally bubbling up. My wife is from New York. She grew up on the Upper West Side. I put in a decade down in Tribeca in my 20s, and we're excited. And I will fill you guys in on that and my feelings around that as we go along this journey. I think I'm going to do this every 2 weeks, once every 2 weeks, I think on a Tuesday. Tuesdays are fun. You know, Monday, we're just kind of getting back on our feet. Wednesday, we know, is hump day, and Tuesday, I like Tuesday. You know, you're in it, but there's still plenty of time left to get her done in the week. Yeah, here I am. And I guess I decided that I'd do this first one by myself. And I hope it's recording the right way. Another thing is, you know, do the things that you're scared of, you know what I mean? That's sort of that thing. I'm not particularly scared, but I'm not crazy about the way I sound, you know, the sound of my voice. And I think a lot of us feel that way, you know what I mean? You think you sound like James Earl Jones, and then suddenly you hear the playback, and it's like, and so anyways, I decided to do a podcast. And so maybe one of the things that I can do when I move to New York is get with a some sort of a vocal coach, you know, some sort of a guy who's the rain in Spain falls mainly in the plain. And that if I walked around talking like this, people would think I was phony. They'd think I was doing that Madonna British thing that she did for a little while. That's my girl. That's my girl, though. Back in the day, I thought I was going to marry Madonna. I don't know about marry, but definitely have a relationship with. We'll get into that later, I think. As many of the blockheads know, I was infatuated with her in 1990. And I was able to meet her at her concert, and she winked at me from, I was in the front row, and my heart sank, and I instantly realized what we kind of did to girls of a certain generation, and brought it into perspective. And then I went backstage, and there was an after party, because it was the end of her tour in New York, and I was able to dance with her, and she was very sweet. I was 17 going on 12, and she was 31, and she was Madonna at the time. So she was very sweet, and we played along like I was, you know. Everyone was like, oh, she likes you. I was like, yeah, she likes me. That's sweet. But we did have a dance, and it was very special. And I thought there was a, 14-year difference between us? And I think there was a 14-year difference between her and, oh, my gosh, Shirley MacLaine's brother, Warren Beatty. I think there was a 17-year difference. Maybe she was 34. I don't know. So I was like, well, it can work. If she's dating him, she can date a guy younger than her, the same age difference. Anyways, I digress, and I will many times. I am doing this podcast because I kept thinking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Finally, I was tired of hearing myself saying, I'm going to do it. I thought it would be a cool idea to ask people, talk to people about their move. What was your move? What was your biggest move? Your most painful move? Your first move, I think, is where I'm going to start. You know, whether you were a kid, whether you were an army brat, whether you were from another country and you were a refugee, whether you were didn't move out until you were 18 or 22, or you know, I think it cuts through a lot of layers on an interview basis when you ask somebody, or when you're just talking and it comes up, like, oh yeah, I moved because, you know, I was breaking up with a girlfriend, or, you know, my parents divorced, or, you know, a lot of different stuff. We couldn't afford it, or my parent got a great job and we got to, you know, get our first house. Whatever it is, I think you there's a lot of baggage with it, so to speak. And I think there's a lot of unpacking, you know. There's another pun for you. And I think that, you know, when you need to move, the stuff you have to do, the stuff you have to go through, old papers, old pictures, old notebooks that you saved, you have to go through all that stuff. And I'm going through all that stuff too. I'm slowly starting the process. We're going to have one more year here in LA, which is a blessing, but it's also a lot, you know. It's because the move is kind of hanging over you, not over you, but it's there. It's out in the future somewhere, and it's another place to practice some patience and see how we go through all this. But we are downsizing because we have a nice house out here in LA, but we have an apartment in New York, and you got to use your space wisely. So we're going to be getting rid of a lot of stuff, which is always good. So says that was 11 minutes and 30 seconds, folks. And that wasn't too bad. I know there's a lot of podcasts that podcasters that just go it alone. I think my good friend Bill Burr is a go-it-aloner, although he was nice enough to have me on his podcast. I think mostly he just checks in, which is a lot. But obviously he's used to that, commanding the stage, so to speak, by himself. That's pretty good. So that's pretty good. That's awesome. He's a good man. Another Bostonian. And my friend Adam Ray, who's extremely supportive and has been doing a couple of podcasts, A Girl's Night Out. No, I'm kidding. About last night. For a while now, with his friend and my friend Brad Williams. He just did one recently by himself as well. So if he can do it, I can do it. But I do look forward to having some guests. And it's going to be fun, I think. And again, it's hard to articulate what I'm feeling in 140 characters. And my whole relationship to social media is like, you know, like all of us. It's fluid, it's gooey, it's like a blob, it's very undefined. And I made peace with it a long time ago. I said I can't try to Twitter every day just to make sure that people love me. And I made peace with that. And I'm not great at retweeting or replying. It's not good. And anybody who's asked me for a follow knows that it's not worth much. But if I see you face to face, well, I'll ask you, I'll make you some tea and some toast. That's what I'll do for you, for the most part. But this feels a little bit more touchy-feely. And I know how powerful podcasts are, and I know what they mean. I don't listen to a ton. My favorite one is Alec Baldwin. And he says, "I'm Alec Baldwin, and here's the thing." So that's why I said, "I'm Joey McIntyre, and this is The Move." Can your first podcast be 15 minutes? I think so. I think so. Add a little music in there. Cue the music. I'm going to get to play music. All right. DJs and podcasts, they get to play sports talk radio people. They get to play whatever music they want. Well, before I go, actually, I guess, you know, I told you I was moving, but I'll tell you about my first time I moved. So I'm the youngest of nine kids, and I was in fourth grade, so I believe I was 9 years old. I was my son Griffin's age right now. And you know, my mom and dad, you know, as I say, they got along in two places, in bed and on the dance floor. And in between that, it was a crapshoot. God bless them. They did the best they could, and they did a damn good job. Every family's got their issues, and we certainly have ours, but they raised nine good kids. But by the time I was nine, my mother was done, and it was a very courageous move for her. She said it was a miracle that she was able to move out of the house and get her own place. And she brought me. And my brother was 13. And he stayed with my dad. That wasn't necessarily his choice, but that's what happened. And I had another sister who was 17, and she was kind of finishing high school, and she stayed with my dad, so I'm sure she has her own experience there. But I was on a trip with the Neighborhood Children's Theater of Boston, a great organization that we used to raise money, and we wear these red shirts with our names on them, with white lettering and blue jeans, and we go down to Faneuil Hall in Boston, famous Faneuil Hall, and we sing songs and all kinds of show tunes, and we'd pass the hat and we'd raise money in different ways. And mostly we raise money for our trip. We'd take a trip every year. And that year it was Christmas vacation, and we went to New York. It was a big trip for New York. And how funny is that, how it all comes full circle here. But nothing's random, as I mentioned in my friend John Brankins's podcast, Brink of Midnight. Little shout out there for John. But yeah, so we saved the money, and about 60 of us went down to New York on the train. And I remember I had $4. I think we had $4 to spend on anything. And they had these weird little rubber things filled with water that you could, like, put your finger in, and it was really simple. It was just tchotchke stuff, and I remember getting one of those. That's one of my memories from New York. And so we went back. We came back on the train, and so my first move was dramatic in its own way. It certainly wasn't dramatic in the Syrian refugee way. God bless those people. I didn't have to jump on a boat with 40 people and hope we didn't drown to get to freedom. So it's all relative, but this is my story. And by the way, I will have to say that whatever our stories are, whether they're harder or tougher or easier, sadder or strong, whatever, they're our experience. It's my experience, and I've learned that I have to not poo-poo it and not preface it and just go through those feelings. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can say, well, it doesn't matter, or it was fine, you know. I have nothing to, you know, complain about. I think you still have to... Well, there's a choice. You don't have to, but you can choose to take a look at your history and how it affected you, and maybe glean something from it. So we come back on the train from New York. You know, cue the smoke. We need more smoke. We pull into the station, and picture the smoke, a big, you know, steamy smoke, and going across the entrance, or the it's not the loading dock, and this is going to happen a lot. The platform, there it is. The smoke, cue that. We need more smoke. wafting across the platform. And so the smoke wafts across the platform. The smoke clears away, and standing there is Catherine Bowen McIntyre, my mom. And I got off the train, and maybe it's because I know now what she said, but I had a feeling, and she just looked at me in a certain way. And I got off the train, and I kind of ran over to her, and she looked down at me, and she said, "We moved." And, you know, kids are, as they say, we say it a lot, they're resilient, you know, and they somehow get it. And maybe it's just a blessing. I mean, kids are just like sponges. So it wasn't a shocker, and I was okay with it. And I knew at 9 that my mom needed me. And sometimes that's unhealthy. A lot of times it is. But I rolled with it, and we drove to Rosendale, and I think my dad was out of town, and he's going to have his own experience and thoughts with this as well. Must have been super tough for him. But we drove to Rosendale, which is one town over, but it, like, you know, a world apart. You know, we called them Rozzy rats. If you were from Rozzy, you were a Rozzy rat, Rosendale. And it was a 3-decker, but there was 6 apartments, so 2 apartments on each floor, sort of like a row house type thing. And my bedroom was in the back, and she opened the door, and she had got me a brand new bunk bed, and it was red, like red metal. And it had a desk attached to it, and it wasn't one on top of another. It was like L-shaped, like one bed, the bottom bed was coming out one way, and then the top bunk was going out the other way. And it was cool. And I said, "Thanks, Mom." I remember saying, "Thanks, Mom." And of course, I think of my son Griffin, like, and how he reacts to certain stuff, you know, and how he understands. And obviously, thankfully, in a different situation, because my wife and I have a pretty darn good marriage, so thank God. So, but anyways, I digress a little bit, but I remember that bunk bed, and I still have the little bench. The bunk bed's gone, but I still have that little red bench that was part of the little desk that was attached. And yeah, we stayed there for a while, and that was my big move. And I took a longer bus ride into school, but I saw my dad on the weekends, and it was all okay, you know. It wasn't trying to get through, you know, get over the Mediterranean, but it was my own experience, and I certainly. You know, it's good to take a look at that. As they say, look back, but don't stare. And so that's kind of maybe what this is about a little bit, the move. So I hope you guys feel like sticking around. And I hope you get something from this podcast. And I don't know how it's going to evolve or where it's going to go, but hopefully we'll all get something out of it. We'll all learn a little bit more about ourselves and each other. So, yeah, I guess what should I say? See you next time on The Move. Or That's The Move. Or, I'm Joey McIntyre, and that's... Oh, I told you I was on the street. That was a Porsche trying to get out of a parking space. It's tiny, too. Is he going to do it? Is he going to make it? Anyways. I'm Joey McIntyre, and that's The Move.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it, New York.